Hello, and welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. I am your host, Michael Edward Miller. A big outdoor music and arts festival is coming up in Dunlap. Valley Fest is going to take place May 3rd and May 4th. In this segment, I'm speaking with one of the performers. Country singer T. Graham Brown has had 20 singles on the Billboard Country charts, including number one hits like Hell and High Water. It's hell. Brown's early hits came in the 1980s. He had a promising career ahead, but then his career stalled. We're going to hear his story of redemption and recovery. He's struggled with bipolar disorder and alcoholism, and he wrote a very personal song about it called Wine Into Water. We'll talk about that and what he's working on right now. T. Graham Brown, welcome to Around and About.
Thank you, man. Good to be here.
So what was going on in the 80s, first of all? It sounds like you were really successful in the 80s, kind of on top of the world for a while.
Oh, we were just rocking strong, you know. We were hitting, we were having hits up to about 1992, something like that. I'm trying to remember the last one. Probably If You Could Only See Me Now was the last, like, bona fide big hit. And then just kind of tapered off, and I spent the 90s kind of in a fog and bouncing from one label to another. I never was without a label deal. I was on Warner Brothers for a while. I was on Capitol Records, and I went to Warner Brothers for a while, and then I went to Sony for a while. And then when I finally was able to get out of that contract, when those record companies have paper on you, you can't go anywhere. So I was just kind of in the, I guess, in their deep catalog somewhere. I wasn't getting any action going on. And then I got a friend of mine that used to work at Capitol Records, started this record company, and he gave me a budget, and we went in and cut an album called Wine Into Water.
You've heard a multitude of prayers on my behalf. I pray one more is not too much to ask.
It was kind of like, I guess, I hate to say the word comeback, but it was a just reminding everybody I was still around, and the song Wine Into Water was on there, and it got, you know, a lot of attention. It wasn't a big hit, but it's kind of taken on a life of its own.
And once upon a time, you turned the water into wine. Now on my knees, I'm turning to your Father. Could you help me turn the wine back in the water?
It was about me, and my drinking got way out of control, and my bipolar stuff hadn't been really diagnosed yet, and so I was really a mess.
The song Wine Into Water, the lyrics seem to directly reflect some of that. Why did you decide to write a song about such a personal thing, a thing many people would want to keep private?
Oh, I don't mind. My life has been an open book anyway. I mean, once you get out in the public eye, people know everything about you. And especially with the internet now, there's just nowhere to hide. And so I wasn't trying to hide. I hate to say I don't care, but it doesn't bother me. That's a better way to say it. I wear my heart on my sleeve, and it doesn't bother me. Who knows?
The alcoholism, how was that affecting your career?
I don't know. It's hard to say, man. I never missed any shows or anything like that, and I didn't really get up and perform drunk. I was just, like, after the shows, I would just drink way too much and then wake up the next day and start drinking again. It was just a vicious cycle, you know, every day.
And you were also talking about bipolar disorder. How did you go about getting diagnosed with that? What made you say, I need to go get treatment for that specifically?
Oh, I didn't say it. My wife said it. You know, I didn't realize what was going on. And a lot of times when I got manic, I wouldn't even remember what I was doing. You know, people would say, why'd you do so-and-so? Why'd you get mad? Or why'd you cuss this guy out or whatever? And I wouldn't even remember doing it. And that was the terrifying part of it. It's not knowing what you're doing. And then the depression part's awful too. I mean, you get down and your mind starts telling you crazy things like, you know, contemplating ending your life or just crazy stuff that you never would think of, you know.
And it sounds like it was definitely affecting your family in particular, being bipolar and not being able to find proper treatment or medication at first.
Yeah, well, it was crazy, you know. Just imagine it. Imagine living with somebody that you don't know what's going to be happening from day to day. It's, at least that's what they told me. See, I don't really remember. When you're manic, I don't think you know that you're manic. At least I never did. I knew when I was depressed, but I didn't know. You know, when you're manic, you think you can rule the world. For instance, my daddy told me that I called him one time and told him I was running for mayor of Nashville and I was going to win. I mean, stuff like that, you know, crazy stuff.
Were you creative during the manic phases? Did it help you with songwriting or anything like that?
I think so. I think the manic is where I love being manic, but nobody else loves it. And my doctor says being manic is just being mean. Manic equals mean. But, yeah, I think you get really creative that way, but it's not worth it. The trade-off just isn't worth it.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with T. Graham Brown. He's a singer-songwriter who lives in Nashville. He's going to be performing in our area this weekend at Valley Fest. That's in Dunlap on May 3rd and 4th. Brown is best known as a country singer, but actually, his work crosses genres. In the 1970s, he fronted a band that played soul music and Otis Redding covers, and Brown recorded a version of a Platters song, With This Ring. And right now, Brown is working on a gospel record. We'll talk about that, too. Something I think is interesting about your career. As a singer, it sounds like you have a pretty strong background in soul music as well as country. That's kind of where you came from, was soul music.
Well, I just grew up. Where I grew up, there was our backyard backed up to the railroad tracks, and across the railroad tracks was where the black people lived. And I used to sleep at the foot of my bed. We didn't have air conditioning. We had an attic fan that sucked air in, and so it would cool us off. And I could hear the black church. That's the first live music, the first band I ever heard was the black church. You know, they had drums and guitars and all that. And the radio station I listened to played a lot of soul music. I just like it. You know, I grew up The station I grew up listening to played, they might play Johnny Cash and then play Wilson Pickett and then play the Rolling Stones and Jerry Lee. It was just all mixed up. It didn't have any specific format. So I got a little bit of all of it.
As a singer-songwriter these days, are you conscious of trying to fit into a certain format, or are you more just kind of doing what you want to do?
I'm doing what I want to do. This record I'm working on right now is a gospel record, and it'll be released to the gospel market specifically. Right now I'm working on a gospel album, but that doesn't mean I won't turn around and do some other kind of album too.
Do you have a website or anything where the listeners can find you?
Yeah, it's under construction right now. They're redoing it, but it's tgrahambrown.com. And then there's a link on there to our Facebook page. It's pretty cool. And we'll have the website up and running here in a couple of weeks, I hope. But I was going to tell you, this record I'm doing right now is really turning out to be a cool thing. Vince Gill did a duet with me a couple of weeks ago.
Wow.
And Leon Russell, the old rocker.
Oh, yeah.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's doing a duet with me. And a boy named Jason Crabb, that's one of the top male artists in gospel music, is singing on it. The Oak Ridge Boys are singing on it. Another great gospel group, the Booth Brothers, are singing on it. Another gospel group called the Three Bridges is singing on it. Jeff and Sherry Easter are singing on it. Steve Cropper's playing guitar on it. Delbert McClinton singing and playing some harmonica on it. I'm forgetting somebody. It's really going to be a cool record.
Yeah, that's quite a roster of musicians you're working with for this album.
Yeah, I never have called in any favors, and I just called up some friends of mine, and they all said, yeah, it was really cool.
You're in Nashville. Do you play in the Chattanooga, East Tennessee area very often?
Every now and then, but we play everywhere. I just got home from Deadwood, South Dakota last night. We go everywhere. We go to Europe. We've been over there once this year. We're going back in June, I think, to Austria, of all places. So we go everywhere.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us. I look forward to having you here in the area.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you.